We are doing a study of the BART Police Department. That study we're doing in the BART Police Department is a top-to-bottom study of that agency. We're looking at their operations and their administration. Our study began on May 18th of this year, which included about September 18th of this year. We have 8 people on our study team. All of us have been or are currently law enforcement practitioners. We are all consultants, and we are all subject matter experts in law enforcement that specialize in some areas in the field of law enforcement. As part of our proposal to study the BART Police Department, we indicated that we would host some community forums that would eventually lead to a community engagement. In these community forums, we want to get input and feedback from the ridership in the taxing district on the quality and scope of our police services. As a part of doing this, any member of the community, the opportunity to give us input and feedback on BART Police Services. My colleague here with me this evening is Robert Stewart, also a member of NOBLE and one of the 8 members of the study team. Once again, the purpose of our meeting this evening is to get community input and feedback on the scope or type of services provided by the BART Police Department and the quality of those services provided by the BART Police Department. As a housekeeping item, we're going to try to end around 9 p.m. at the maximum, if not sooner. We're not going to take any more time than we need, but I think we do have sufficient time for everyone to comment that wishes to comment. Also, I'd like you to know, if you have to use the restroom during this forum, it's out the door to my left on your right. You make a left and make a right, and then the men's and women's restrooms are located there. We have a sign-in sheet that we're going to ask everyone to sign in and give us a name, organization, if you're representing the organization, a phone number, an email address, contact information, so that we can later contact you about your comments here this evening. And just to memorialize who is here this evening. So we would appreciate it if you would provide that information to us. Everyone should have a sheet, a one-page document that says NOBLE Community Forum Guidelines. And I'd like to go over that, and I'll go line by line in each section. And if you have any questions about these guidelines, please ask me. But I want to ensure that they're clear and you sort of understand the rules of engagement for this evening. The first section of this one-page document, does anybody need a document before I get started? Is anyone that does not have this one-page summary document? Okay. Seeing no hands, I'll continue. First part of this says, rules for effective participation. Number one, there will be one person speaking at a time. We have a microphone located on my left to your right, and each person, one at a time, will be afforded the opportunity to speak. Number two, you have 2 minutes maximum to state your commendation, critique, or recommendation. And I'll explain that in a little bit. We're looking for you to give us an issue, a specific issue that you are concerned about. Number three, please use I statements. In other words, do not try to get the perceptions of others or speak for someone else or say you think this is a community opinion. Say, I believe, I think, what do you feel personally about a specific issue? Number four, ideally, all statements must relate to the Noble Park Police Management Study. And I think I left my sheet, but in the study we're doing in the Noble Police Department, let me just give you a flavor of some of the areas that we're studying. We're looking at use of force. We're reviewing how BART conducts investigations. We're reviewing how BART conducts its internal affairs process. We're essentially looking at BART operations. We're studying how BART is involved with the community. We're looking at their selection process, recruitment, selection, retention, promotion. We're looking at discipline. Those are some of the key areas that we're looking at. Now, any recommendation that you have, regardless of whether it falls within the purview of the study, we are certainly going to include that information. Number five, the last rule for effective participation. Courtesy, respect, and cordial language is a must. I think we need to be respectful, we need to be courteous, and we need to state what our issue is. Okay, is there any questions about that part, the rules for effective participation? I think I've bypassed that you have 2 minutes, a maximum of 2 minutes, and I'll come back and clarify that a little more for each individual. Why we set that time limit. Some key points of clarification that we want all of you to understand. The National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, NOBLE, is not investigating the BART Police fatal shooting which occurred on January 1st, 2009. We're not investigating that. NOBLE is conducting a review or a study of the operations and administration of the BART Police Department. We're looking at policies, processes, and procedures. That's what we are studying. Number three, NOBLE is not here to answer questions about policing in general or to provide judgments on how the BART Police Department has behaved in the past. That's not what we're here to do tonight. We're here to obtain, number four, your feedback and your input on the quality and scope of BART police issues. Number five, I want all of you to understand this, that we know, recommended, that BART police employees or members of BART administration not attend these community forums so as to speak directly to us, NOBLE, and not to speak to BART. So that was our recommendation to them. So if you might ask the question, well, why is the general manager here? Why is the police chief here? Why is this person here, director here? We asked them not to be here.
So there are no BART police here right now?
There is one.
Okay, so you are implying that there are none here, but there actually is one here.
We're implying, what I'm saying is we requested that BART not have any employees here this evening. We can't prevent them from being here, but we ask them not to be here. The one exception to that is that we ask the people from community relations to be here to help coordinate this event. Okay, I'm going to go on to the last part of this document, the kind of input and feedback that we need. I think a simple way for you to think about the input and feedback we need from you is to formulate it into three questions. What should the BART police start doing? That would be a recommendation. What is it that they're not doing now that you think would be effective if they would start doing it? So one of your recommendations may be what something that the BART police department should start doing. Number two, what should the BART Police Department stop doing? What is it they're doing now that you think is ineffective, and so you think that they should terminate this activity or this function. And that would be a critique of the Park Police Department. Number three, what should the Park Police Department continue doing? And that's really a accommodation, something that you think that they're doing that is effective, and you would want a study like this to either limit or discontinue that activity. And so you want to say, hey, this is something they're doing now, it's good, and they should continue it. What we want you to do this evening is to state your issues ideally in one of these three formats. Whether it's in this format or not, we want to hear what your issue is. Now, we certainly understand there may be a situation that is attached to your particular critique, commendation, or recommendation. And even though that has value and is important to you, we don't have the time, really don't want to take the time to hear that story. What we want to hear from you is, what is your commendation? What is your recommendation? What is your critique? And so, as you're speaking, if you get into a dialogue that gets a little bit lengthy, you might hear me interject by saying, what is your issue? Please state the issue so I can record the issue, and I will record these issues on this tablet so that we can know what are the issues that are being recommended by the community. Let me say one other thing that's not on the sheet that's very important. We're having this community forum tonight here in San Francisco. We're going to have one tomorrow in Oakland. And at both of these sessions, we are looking for people who are willing to volunteer and be involved in a community engagement. The tentative date I think we have for that is not finalized yet, is July 11th. And in that community engagement, that'll be a 6-hour problem-solving session in which we're looking for probably about a maximum of 15 people who are willing to work on 3 to 5 of these issues that have the highest priority as indicated by members of the community, and develop a workable plan on how these issues may be resolved. So, in addition to offering your input and feedback, what we'd like to get from you is your involvement in helping resolve these issues. A key component of effectively policing in any law enforcement agency is being involved with the community. In fact, policing is a community problem, one which police give full time and attention to, a responsibility that's basically incumbent upon every citizen. And so, the Bard Police Department needs your involvement. Now, having summarized how we're going to proceed, are there any questions anyone has about this process and how it's designed to work? We can take one person at a time, and you can come up and go to the mic on the left, and we would like you to state your issue. And for those of you who just came in, I provided some sheets that have guidelines on how this engagement should occur. I would just ask that you review those guidelines before you speak, because that's how we're going to proceed. So do I have any questions before I turn this over to Robert Stewart? Yes, sir.
In explaining these instructions, I see that you have a particular format in mind, but it's confusing because you seem to imply that you're not here to investigate the Bard police, but yet you've made a number of statements in your explanation that you would like to know a about the Bach police because from my subjective opinion from hearing you is that the Bach police is an important component of community policing. But yet you stress a couple of times in your explanation that you would like the statements to be very general in nature. In the beginning of your introductory statement, you said that you are some black police organization that has been tasked to study about top to bottom or bottom to top. And you seem to have implied that you have some study. So my question is very simple. How can the public, especially here in San Francisco, which where you participate at every level, and I do, especially in law enforcement issues, how can we really participate in a forum like this when you imply about a study, but there is no material, not even a one-page statement that states about some basic comment about the study?
Okay, I appreciate your question. Let me just try to summarize as well as I can the whole thing you said. First of all, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, of which Bob Stewart and I are representatives of, have been tasked with studying the Bach Police Department. We are reviewing their operations and administration. It is not an investigation of the fatal police shooting that occurred on January 1st. Another organization is handling the investigation of the shooting. What we're doing is we're conducting a review of the department's operations and administration to determine how effective it is in providing services to the community. So I hope that's clear. I mentioned some of the areas of the study. We're looking at things like BART operations, internal affairs, use of force, policies, procedures, and tactics, discipline, accountability, community involvement. So there's 12 major topical areas that we're looking at in the study. This study began on May 18th and will be concluded on September 18th. And as part of doing this study, we feel, Noble, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, that it's important to get community input and feedback on the quality and scope of police services. We would not want to do this study without allowing the community the opportunity to tell us what they think needs to be improved in the BART Police Department. Does that get an answer to your question?
Not in time. But in my 2 minutes, maybe I'll try to further enlighten you.
Okay. Whatever your issues, concerns are with the BART Police Department, that's what we want to know about. That's what we want to capture as a part of having these community forums. So we want you to tell us those things you think the BART Police Department should start doing that they're not doing now that would be helpful to the community, those things they should stop doing that they're doing now that are not effective, and those things they should continue doing that those services that you like them to provide, that you want to continue to provide. So we're open to your input and feedback. We're asking people to take no more than 2 minutes because essentially we want to know what is your issue, what is your concern. Yes, sir.
My question is, and I'm just speaking for a brother right here, but about the format. You said that you're not giving us, you're not doing a study on what happened on January 1st, basically the policies and procedures and the workings of our police. However, the community is largely unaware of those inner workings until we have an incident like what happened on January 1st. Then we have to dig for information. And by asking us for this input now, after you've done a study, it would seem that at some point there would be some type of disclosure of what you found, even if some type of facts that you could give to us so that we can respond to. All we know of how BART operates is what happened on January 1st so far. They've been very closed in providing their dealings. We don't find out how anything works within BART until there's something wrong. Also, we some of those components. I know you weren't giving the whole list, but you mentioned internal affairs, you mentioned basically a couple of key components. Mm-hmm. Training was not mentioned. I wanted to make sure that that is part of something that you looked at.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then also just as far as the format, the structure of you doing a study and then asking for our input on what BART is not doing. We don't know what BART is actually doing, like I said, until something is wrong. So that is what part of the community's issue is.
Good question here. We are 1 month into a four-month study. If we had already completed the study, getting your input and feedback would really be moot because we'd already have a report, and so it really wouldn't matter what you told us because the report would already be finalized. And so 1 month into a four-month study, we're asking for your input and feedback so we can incorporate it into the study. As far as drawing conclusions on the study, we can't draw conclusions because the study is not finished. And so we're intentional about getting your input and feedback before we conclude the study.
How many people here are actually with your organization, the audience, and also how many people are here from BART administration? I recognize one gentleman in the back who I think is one of their media people. I don't know if there are any other BART employees here tonight. I'd just like to, from this community forum, I'd like to know who's here from Noble in the audience and who's here from Noble or from BART in the audience, so I can just get a better sense of the people who are here, how many are actually from the community. I am, but I don't know about anybody. I see the police officer.
Just for all of you in the community, if I could encourage you to use this microphone, because there are members of the media here, and the microphone is tied into the house audience so that your comments would be captured by the reporters, would help them, and would help everyone who's here.
I will address
to answer your question. I'm here with Bard Media and Public Affairs to help out with the media relations aspect. Rod Lee is from our government's media relations department, and Cheryl Stalker is from our media and public affairs department for reporting this for the website.
And who else is here from Noble?
Those members of Noble, would you like to identify yourself?
I already know who you are, so might as well just come clean. So a good part of our audience is actually from Bart and Noble, then.
No, it's a very small, I think it's what, four people?
Okay, and could you count the rest of us then and tell me what you think a large and small part of our audience is tonight then?
News media.
Yeah, so just for the news media who are recording this, it appears that about a third of the audience is from Noble or Bard.
I don't know if that's close, but...
Well, your police officer...
Let's proceed. Robert, I'm going to turn it over to you to start it. Can you use the other line? This one.
This one, please. And again, if I could, just for the people who came in a little late, because we do want to emphasize that as a part of this process, what we're really trying to also do from both of these community meetings is to get people who want to take an active role in the community engagement. And what we recognize is that it's very, very important for any police organization to really reach out to the community and work together on mutual interests. And at the end of the day, we all want a safe environment. So what we're really also interested in addition to getting feedback from the community, is to find some people who would be interested in coming to a six-hour community engagement session, probably July 11th or at some point in the future. Anybody, please?
My recommendation is that you make sure that the officers are screened for advanced and appropriate hearing capabilities. You know, I know officers are screened for hearing, but hearing is usually tested in a soundproof booth, and that's not appropriate because these are officers who are in areas with very poor acoustics, with people, people who have accents from many other countries, and they're in high-stress situations, and there's a way of testing for this. And not all the audiologists know how to do it. It's called central auditory processing. And they basically have to be able to distinguish sounds when they have competing sounds in the other ear. And people with disorders where they've been have had lead toxicity in childhood, or they have sleep apnea, will often do very poorly on this kind of testing. And these are also people who, unfortunately, will have shorter patience than someone with normal hearing. It also would be very helpful for instructing them that not everybody can really hear as well as they think the person should be able to. And there can be situations where the officer behaves in an inappropriate manner because they misunderstood that the person can't really hear what they're being asked.
Approached them in foul language, and then when they responded with foul language in kind,
Brown that they had tasers in their possessions for about 2 weeks as trainees on these weapons and pointed these weapons at persons who were not suspect, threatening those persons with the taser weapons on the night that the shooting incident occurred. Another officer testified that she was so frightened by the incident before the incident occurred that as she approached the scene, she testified she went through 30, 40 people in a riotous crowd. Of course, the video contradicted her words and told the courtroom that she thought she was going to have to kill somebody when she arrived to Fruitvale Bar that night. Now, this speaks to training. This speaks to states of mind, officers. This speaks to recruitment. This speaks to whether or not officers at BART should even carry weapons. It speaks to so much. So while your intent is not to deal with what happened January 1st, like my brother said earlier, you almost have to. Because most of what we know about BART specific has come in testimony over the last few weeks in terms of how the police handled that particular incident. I'll stop on this note that I participated with the subcommittees that are structuring and hoping to produce oversight. And one of the things that has been stated in the record is that BART had only received in 2008 12 complaints from the public. I said in some of our forums publicly that I have personally received round about 12 or more complaints from persons whose complaints have not made it to the BART system. So as we're looking at what BART police has done, can do, should do, we have to know that in the oversight process, that we need to know that the public's complaints are actually being heard. And while these that we, of course, are brought here because of the murder of Oscar Grant, we have to know that Officer Perrone, who was the first on the scene, testified that if Oscar Grant had not been killed, that more than likely he would not have even taken down the names of these young men who were cussed out, abused, thrown against walls, thrown to the ground. They would have gone home that night if Johannes Mezzali didn't shoot Oscar with lumps on their head, bruises on their bodies, and their names would not have been taken by Officer Anthony Perrone, according to his testimony. So this would have been potentially another of these incidents where a young urban male has been harassed, beat up, thumped by police and sent home without a report. So this whole thing about how the complaint is made, who receives it, and what is done with that complaint, that the public often doesn't trust complaining to an officer after another officer has just abused them. So systemically, we need a better system of receiving complaints.
I think we had a lot of latitude on the 2 minutes. Can I do this? Because there were about 12 or 14 items that you mentioned, and so what I'd like to do is let's look at a few of those, and you kind of coupled a number of things together. Training, state of mind, hiring, recruiting. Out of those, out of that group, which do you think is the most important and why?
Well, I think they're related, so I don't know if you can pull one from the next. State of mind and training are related. State of mind and hiring are related issues. What is the state of mind of those that work for BART in policing? As they're approaching incidents, what is their history? What is their cultural background? What is their relationship to the community that they are to serve? That's an issue. What is their experience with the community that they're now being paid to serve? That's an issue. However, and another issue is, what is my perspective of a young urban male when I have a weapon in my hand? And how I perceive them as a potential threat to me as a person of the environment.
Make sure I come back to complaints. I won't come back to complaints in a while. And your impressions, this is, I'm just putting a bookmark here, the impressions about how complaints are taken, received, and investigated, whatever the impressions are, beyond the incident at hand, what is, has been your general, and I'll ask anybody, please, to, if you have some input, on the issue of hiring, training, and state of mind, beyond the one incident at hand, what has been your general impression about BART officers in their hiring, recruiting, and training?
Well, the general concern would be what I've seen in practice. And as my brother had said, most of the practice is made most manifest by what happened January the 1st and the testimony that's been given by those officers in the preliminary hearing. Now, to hear an officer say, for an example, I thought I was going to have to kill somebody running into a scene when there was nothing that projected that. That goes to now the training of that officer. That, in this case, Officer Domenici testified that she ran past 40 people in what she thought was a riotous evening, and the video said it wasn't riotous, and the video said she didn't run past 40 people. It was so shocking, the judge had to ask her, who were you going to shoot first? So now what was her training? What kind of reporting comes from law enforcement officers when an incident occurs? These officers were interviewed 3 times, and their reports became more embellished after they met with their lawyers. So they expanded their report from the first interview to the second interview to the third interview. Why didn't the officers provide an accurate interview on the night of the incident? On the night of the incident, it was 6 to 8 hours before these officers actually provided an interview with a report. They didn't write the report, there was an oral interview. So this is a process. What would take so long after a fatal incident for the officers involved in the incident to actually be into this process? Being interviewed, and the time that was taken was the time needed to embellish the stories. So it went from, I thought he had a gun, to I thought I had my taser, because they were making up the storyline. So as they were being interviewed over the course of time, the fact they made up the storyline was more and more evident as time proceeded. Now my point here is that when she testified that I thought I was going to have to kill somebody, that goes to training. When Anthony Peroni approached a group of young men pointing a laser target at them without dialogue, without, may I speak with you, you're under arrest, without, have you heard about a fight on the BART train, can I talk with you, you young men, stay right here so I can speak with you, none of those words, before he pointed a weapon at them. That's training. And that state of mind. What was his view when he received the call that 5 black males may have been involved in an incident? It was misdemeanor in nature. What was his view that he approached them with a taser pointed at them, with a laser target on their minds? They responded by shouting back at him, why are you messing with us? But his approach to them is what produced their shots. Had he just walked up and said, excuse me, young man, we got a call of a problem. See, that speaks now to his training. That speaks to what his state of mind was when he approached the situation. Now, all this is in testimony, so I don't have to make it up and get the preliminary here transcripts. And that's where I'm saying training comes in. An officer with a taser should have a probable cause for the use of a taser. Not that I'm looking for somebody and I'm afraid of how they're going to react. So since I'm so afraid, I'm going to pull a weapon before I speak to them. That's what he did. He approached them with a weapon and with a derogatory conversation. When they responded in kind, now all of a sudden I'm a disrespected
insecure chip on my shoulder officer who feels my authority is not being respected when he abused his authority at the first approach with the young men, causing them to defend themselves with words. So when they say, you're not a real cop, you're a bar cop, that's how they respond. You're not a real cop, you're a rental cop. They responded because of the way that he approached them. That's his training.
That's if I could, and because I really want to get other people involved in this. So we're on the issue of training. And what I really want to try to get from people is a broader sense of, and not necessarily just anecdotal, but from a broader sense, what have you been your impressions about BART officers and their training across the board? And let's give somebody else an opportunity, please.
I want to first thank Noble for being involved in this, and then just to issue a warning that by your attaching yourself to BART, and you've done that now, you've attached yourself to BART now, you now are going to come into some line of fire, so to speak, because as we spoke to you before, the information of how BART operates, how its policing is done, does not come to the community until there has been an egregious act. Now, we spoke mostly about the issue on January 1st. However, this is the third time that a BART police officer has shot and killed someone who was unarmed and not posing a threat. Each time, they have been black men. That's not a coincidence. To us, that shows a pattern. So that needs to be addressed. Now, you asked to specifically leave alone the issue on January 1st. So if I could, I will give you some tendencies, if you will, about their hiring practices. Something that you should look at while you're doing investigating and you're looking for what their hiring practices are. If I know nothing else, I know that the officers that are hired are not from the communities which they serve more than likely. More prevalent. BART police officers, I'm not sure how their beats are set up, but BART spans a pretty long distance. It's from over here in San Francisco. It goes out to Pittsburgh, Bayport. It goes out to Dublin and Pleasanton. They're trying to expand into San Jose. So I don't know. Maybe somebody might live in Pleasanton and work for BART, but is that officer assigned to work the area of BART in Pleasanton, or is he down here in Fruitvale area? So something that needs to be looked at is people from the community actually serving the community, because you have a different approach when you're dealing with somebody who might be your neighbor, as opposed to coming from an outsider standpoint and you're just coming in to basically corral the natives. Specifically, you might want to look at, while you're checking out hiring, military background. Officer Tony Pallone was a military police officer. He was an MP in the Marines, is that correct? Yeah. So that needs to be looked at, a military background. While you're checking people for mental fitness and their ability to engage the public in an appropriate way, if a person is coming from a military background, fresh out of Iraq doing two tours of duty or something like that, his mental health needs to be thoroughly checked before he is put in a BART police uniform and then engaging citizens of the community and treating them like military combatants, because that is what has taken place. So when you're looking at hiring, we need a thorough check of the state of mind. We also need to look at where we're looking at for the hiring. I didn't see any BART police job fairs come through my room. That needs to be checked, because I live a block away from Fruitvale BART station. And I know that the police officers who work in that particular area don't live anywhere near where I live, in the Fruitvale district.
Excuse me, but I want to ask, on this issue, I'm kind of coming back to it, but on what you know about the BART police, compared to other police departments in the Bay Area, do you know more or less about the BART police than other similarly situated law enforcement organizations?
I would say I know less hasn't been demonstrated in BART's response to us. Now, BART is supposed to be a public agency. However, it operates in a very private fashion. So like I said to you earlier, we don't know anything about any of the inner workings of how BART Police operates until there's an incident. Then we have to dig and find the information. Then, I started by thanking you. I wanted to thank you for entertaining us. However, I just wanted you to be mindful that we are not a community that is looking to be entertained. And I know that that is, may not be your particular purpose, but I warned you about attaching yourself to BART. BART is attempting to entertain us. They want this issue to go away. This is a PR problem for BART. Your hiring was PR. The way they announced your hiring was PR. You need to address that. Also, when they have their meetings and they say that they want to engage the public, the reason why I say it's entertainment is because we get plenty of notices from BART on their next steps. They're going to upgrade their trains. They're going to be expanding here. They're looking to do this. We're finding out about the union issues, all of this type of stuff. We get emails. We see it on the news. However, with all of this public information that they're disseminating, when it's time for a public forum and they want input from the community, no notices go out. There was no public notice about this meeting, and that's why Brother Cameron over here asked, where is the community? There is not community input. If you come in here and half the people work for BART, the other half work for Noble, and then you got a sprinkled in group of people who actually live in the community where these atrocities are being perpetrated. That's a problem. And that is a problem that you have attached yourself to. So it's not just to point fingers and say, Noble, you did this and you did, you know, that this is not your issue. But now that you have attached yourself to it, we would like you to respond with integrity and not just entertain the community like BART has tried to send you out there to do. I just want you to be mindful. They're peddling you out there to entertain the community. This is the wrong community to try to entertain. Some of this needs to get back to them so that they know that this is unacceptable. It's disrespectful. And the reason why I'm bringing it to you is because you're checking on the policing. But it's that disrespect of the community that has caused these problems in the community. It's the disrespect of a police officer who's former military coming to respond to people, not like they're passengers or patrons or customers.
That's right.
BART police officers have to engage in customer service. That's what they are providing. They are supposed to keep the train safe for the passengers and the riders. Those riders that were on that train were trying to be good citizens by not being out drinking and driving, if they did have a drink. That's the whole point. BART has this nice campaign every year that if you ride BART, we'll let you ride BART for free. Just don't drive drunk. So good citizens have heeded that message and say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and ride BART and be safe. And then now you have an altercation with BART police officers. I don't know that Oscar was drinking because they didn't even find anything in his system. The one thing that they put on the news was that he had something in his system that they tried to say was the drug, but they found that it was the drug that they administered him while he was bleeding on the platform after being shot. So basically, the disrespect towards the community has caused this particular issue. It's prevalent in their hiring. It's prevalent in their training. The officer that he mentioned that testified, and this is court record, even if you're not dealing with that particular incident, it's something that you should have come across through her testimony because she's a training officer.
Right.
Officer Dominici is responsible for teaching new officers how to behave. And now, while you are out here entertaining us, BART has assigned the two officers who committed the most egregious crimes up there outside of Officer Johannes Messner. Tony Peroni, who instigated the whole situation by the way he approached the situation. And then his partner, who came up there feeling disrespected, feeling like they was treating her like a toy cop, said she was going to kill somebody before she had even seen any of the suspects. There was no radio report that it was weapons or anything like that. But she said, I'm going to have to kill somebody. This person is responsible for training other officers, and now, just recently, they have assigned both of these officers to train officers in hostile situations, such as what happened on January 1st. That's a problem. It's a problem that they still have a job in the first place, but let alone give them the responsibility of training somebody else so that they can go with the same type of attitude to engage their customers.
Can I give you another opportunity? I suspect that we'll hear from you again. And just a kind of footnote, you seem to know a lot about what's going on inside the Newark Police Department.
My name's Cameron Servant, and we know a lot about it because we've been to a lot of meetings and we've heard a lot of testimony. I'm not going to point out that there are 28 people in the audience, three of whom are with the news media, three of whom are with Noble, and three of whom are with Park Police, or with Park Media Relations, just to accept to say that if you disagree with that, now would be a good time, because I think that you're going to use this meeting tonight as a justification for having reached out to the community. I think it's important that if you do that, that you're honest about who actually came to the meeting. I did get an email about it, but that's it. What I wonder is, I wonder if your recommendations are going to include any people who have been brutalized by Park Police, because I suspect that their recommendations might be somewhat different than those made by an organization made up of police officers. My main concern, and I'll wait for you to be able to write this down, is where in the constellation of recommendations you are seriously considering disarming Park Police. At a meeting that we had at the town hall, we had a Park Police officer who stood up and told us, as a 25-year veteran, that he would not go back out on the job without a gun. You are an organization of police officers. I have to assume that you might share some of those same assumptions.
So, as a point of clarification, are you recommending that Bart be disarmed?
I am.
Okay, thank you.
And the reason why I'm saying that and what my question is, I want Bart Police to be disarmed, but I wonder how seriously you will consider making a recommendation that Bart Police be disarmed. Or if that's just a joke, or if that's just like so far out of the realm that will never be considered. So I want to know where disarming Bart Police goes in your list. The final thing I want to understand is what role racial profiling data will play in your investigation. I want to know what the sources of that racial profiling data are. My assumption from writing on BART is that there is racial profiling going on. And the final thing is that your attempt to separate the events of, as you call them, the fatal shooting on New Year's Eve, you can't even bring yourself to say Oscar Grant's name, that your attempt to separate that issue from the overall organization is wrong and a mistake. The reason why I say that is that I was on BART on New Year's Eve. I was also another citizen who was not drinking and driving. I had a drink and I rode on BART. And I would say that BART created a dangerous situation with massive overcrowding at every one of the stations that were served that night. I also saw BART police running around in their SWAT gear, looking totally amped up, if you want my impression of what BART was doing, BART police were doing that night. They were looking for a fight, is what BART police were doing that night. And BART created one, the whole system created one, by dangerously overcrowding platforms, by stuffing trains to complete overcapacity, and yet making a promise that if good citizens wanted to be responsible, they would take BART that night.
Disturbing to me when I read that you are not, as an organization, taking up the issues regarding January 1st. Noble, as a respected organization, a national organization, you should be investigating this as an organization, because the Black police officer is the bridge between the most impacted community, which is Black people, and brown. We're the most impacted community when it comes to law enforcement engagement. We have the most contacts with law enforcement, and generally, they're not good. Case in point, we fill up the prisons and the jails as a result of these contacts. So to have a national Black policeman's organization not investigating this fatal shooting is problematic. And I think the young man's admonition to you that you not allow
this noble organization to appear to be used as window dressing, to give cover. I'm still disturbed that on January 1st that young man was killed or murdered. Nobody from the responsible political or law enforcement community organizationally said anything. We didn't hear from Noble, we didn't hear from the OFJ, we didn't hear from OPD, Black Officers Association. So the silence was deafening. Now you're 6 months later, holding community forums with very tight parameters on what you're not even able to discuss. See, that's considered, as the young brother said, disrespect. We're looking to you, as it was the community that gave relevance to Black law enforcement officials. You were not on police forces until little brothers and sisters in the street threw Molotov cocktails in the face of police brutality and demanded that policing look like the community that the policing is taking place in. That laid the base for what we call Black police officers, and in fact, that's the foundation of the organization Noble. You grew out of a desire from Black police officers in the 60s to look at issues of justice and speak to those issues forthrightly. You don't need a grant to do that. That's something that's just in the basis of your bylaws and your mission statement. So for us to come and you say you're not investigating BART, somebody outside of BART in a law enforcement with law enforcement ability and experience should be investigating BART, whether it's OFJ or a Noble or the Oakland Officers Association. Some African-American Latino entity should be independently investigating this rogue operation. Because number one, BART should not be armed. Any more than Amtrak should be armed. Any more than Caltrans should be armed. The reason BART is armed goes into the very origin of BART. BART was built to deal with white flight to the suburbs who were moving out of the inner cities, moving out to suburban areas, but still working in San Francisco. So they built BART to provide an easy way in and an easy way out, and BART police has been paramilitarily structured to deal with the riffraff of Black and brown that may interact with white as they're moving to the suburbs. So the whole mind and the whole intent of BART was to control the natives. So BART's problems is not independent or separate from San Francisco's problems. It's not separate from New York City's problems or Chicago's problems. So I would hope that Noble has a national scope and a national purview as you're investigating departments all over the country where these kinds and qualities of interactions are taking place that communities are complaining about. Who are we talking to? We're complaining to the police department? That's one of the big, in fact, Chief Earl Saunders, my friend, told me, Minister, we are the biggest gang in San Francisco. That's a quote, and there's OMJ members here, they've heard that quote. I was the president of the African American Community Police Relations Board for 6 years. And the biggest issue we had was to try to cause law enforcement to look at itself honestly and critically. It was a problem then, and it's a problem now, which is why this organization, you shouldn't have these kind of tightly constricted parameters. That's a bad mark on your good name. You can't separate this forum from what happened to Oscar Grant, and it's ridiculous to attempt to do that. All you're doing is putting yourself, as the young man said, in the line of fire to give BART cover so that it looks like it's doing something when it really, in fact, is not doing anything. BART should not be seen or trained or armed as a paramilitary operation. They should have relationships with every sheriff department, every police force that BART goes to so that when they're in that area and there's a problem, they can alert the local authorities from that municipality to assist them in engaging with those who have come under some kind of disregard for the protocols of BART as they got on the train.
We're going to get you to wrap up. Do you want to respond, Bob?
Well, I'd like to pursue that.
Thank you.
Because essentially, what I think, you know, we're really trying to get at is the community's perception of what safety and security ought to be like on BART. So, I mean, I kind of hear a discussion about having individual municipalities play some role, and I would almost ask, Could you give me a little more meat on that bone?
Well, you have BART going to Dublin. Dublin has a PD. They go to Hayward, or they go to Oakland, or they go to San Francisco. Everywhere BART stops, there's a police department that represents that stop. So BART in and of itself does not need to be armed in the sense any more than Amtrak or Caltrans. That doesn't mean there aren't people that are trying to sneak on BART, or people that are not drunk and acting out in a way that's disruptive to the passengers. All that's normal and it's understandable. And there are contingencies for that. But to have people who are not necessarily under similar training, under similar codes of conduct, with similar accountability, but you've got a quasi-state agency and a department now that has no real accountability or oversight, produces this kind of problem. But if you have departments that have relationships with BART, and so that if we're in Dublin and a young man acts up, then we can now alert Dublin PD to be at that next stop to engage that young man according to some standard that everybody can understand, and if Dublin PD is out of pocket, we can hold the city of Dublin, the chief of Dublin, and that whole apparatus accountable for what happened at the Dublin BART station. But I think this whole idea of a paramilitary operation at a transit company just reeks of the potential for problem, because you're crossing Bay Area lines, you're crossing city lines, you're crossing boundaries. But it appears to be you're operating as your own judge and jury. And that, to me, represents an inherent problem in the BART system. I've never ridden BART. I have a car, and I just need to get around where I have to go. So I wouldn't know. My experience with BART is not personal. I got involved when I learned that this young man got killed, and I saw that the silence from political, organizational experts in the field was definite. That's when we got involved. But I think to answer your point, there needs to be the assessment of how does BART interact so that the protection of the BART riders is covered, so that BART officers are not feeling threatened, but that we have a clear mind of accountability so that we're not talking to BART boards and state representatives with no real ability to hold any one entity accountable, which is why we keep getting this runaround when we talk about how do we resolve this problem.
Thank you very much.
I'm trying to do lady before you.
I'm going to keep my spiel nice and short, being that I happen to live in this neighborhood. And in all my several years of riding Bay Area Rapid Transit trains from San Francisco to other places and back, I have never, ever felt safe around Bay Area Rapid Transit police officers at all. And like Minister Christopher Mohammed has said, it is a paramilitary outfit that acts as its own judge, jury, and executioner. And I only have but a couple of recommendations for BART. Among one of them, just to piggyback of what one of the young brothers who was here earlier just said, who happens to live in the Fruitvale district of Oakland, BART officers should have regular psychological screenings. And this is a little far out. I agree with the 40 or 50 something Caucasian gentleman who once said that BART police officers should be disarmed. I want to take that recommendation a little bit further. The tactical wing of BART should be done away with completely. And I have one more recommendation, and I'm going to put this mic back and shut the hell up. I feel that if BART police must exist, and I'm sure there are some people in the audience who feel that they are a necessary entity, and they have to keep the stations safe and the trains safe, they should follow the San Francisco Municipal Railway or Muni model and have their subway cops just be fare inspectors, just to make sure that people have their monthly passes on them and their tickets on them. Otherwise, they'll be written up and they have to appear in court. And that's all I gotta add to this.
Thank you.
Thanks for this.
Passengers. That's wrong.
It is paramount that BOP have citizens' organization, no law enforcement included, that has oversight over BOP. Not only oversight for the sake of oversight, but an oversight that has clout. For example, here in San Francisco, they have the Office of Citizens Complaint, but they have no clout. This is important. Finally, I was shocked that an organization like Noble would take this task after this incident that happened in the early hours of the 1st of January to kind of study but top down, and we have no organizational chart and we have no mission statement of art. When the layman comes, it is necessary for you in general terms to explain the organizational chart of BOP. And especially since you made a statement earlier about community policing, how that is tied into the community. That's critical. We also need to know that if BOP has a mission statement, if there are quarterly reports linked to this mission statement, because the gentleman earlier who was giving the introduction, he mentioned about 18 topics that my mind kind of retained. And having a law enforcement experience, it's impossible in 2 minutes to really give a very frank opinion if you want that, so that you can do a good study. But as you said, at some other date, you're going to allow us to come and have a study. Now, I'm requesting you to have good outreach so that good people can come and participate in the study. Thank you very much.
Investigate the BART police shooting, as you do not have the ability to.
not a matter of us deciding that we're not going to. We have no ability to. The National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives was contracted to study the BART Police Department. Now, having said that, let me say what I think is somewhat obvious. Every incident that occurs in the police department, in any police department in America, is a test of the policies, of their procedures, and their practices. And so in conducting this review of the BART Police Department, we are obviously evaluating those practices, those policies, and those procedures, and those tactics as they are implemented in the field. And let me just say this another way. If you have an unfair incident that occurs in any police agency in America, and that police officers or officers are tried in the court of law and they are convicted, rightfully so, for what they've done, that in of itself does not correct institutional problems in the police department. I hope you would agree with that. It's looking at those policies, procedures, tactics that are going to correct those things. That's what adults should do. Thank you.
Could somebody ask a question regarding the statement you just made as a point of clarity for the community? Is that possible in terms of interacting?
I'm not sure I understand what your question is.
Is it possible to ask a follow-up question regarding the statement you just made?
Sure, absolutely.
You made the statement as a point of clarity for me that Noble has no ability to investigate. Well, that needs to be clarified because to the degree a national black law enforcement organization made up of practitioners of the art and science of law enforcement, there has to be a capability with these kinds of incidences going on all over the country where it appears to be many times local agencies investigating themselves, which lends to the view from the community perspective of whitewash and cover-up. There has to be an investigative aspect or an analysis. Maybe that's a better word. But for Noble to look at what the world saw on January 1st, which is a black man being shot, and a cursory or an exhaustive review of that videotape, and statements coming from BART subsequently that basically gave cover to their officers until the community outrage forced the issue. It seems to me that Noble, in the last 6 months, or its affiliates, should have been able to say definitively, based upon our analysis, without knowing all of the details, but based upon what we saw on tape, and our experts in the field, and our members who have been some range from 20 to 30 years of expertise in this area, it appears that this was unjustified. And that statement, coming from a black law enforcement organization, speaks volumes, not just the ACLU, not just other law enforcement analysts, but the black law enforcement professionals have a duty, an obligation. If it's not a formal investigation, of course you don't have that capability, but you do have the capability to offer analysis, assessments, and even positions, because the volatility of this kind of practice that's happening all over the country. Because here's the bottom line to my concern, and as I sit down, if Oscar Grant murder was not on videotape, that young man, if he survived, would still be he'd be under the jail by now.
That's right.
And that shooting would have been justified and cleared because of the way law enforcement covers itself. How many young black men and brown men and men of color, youth, are being killed or arrested or abused under the guise of resisting arrest or any other covering formula?
that law enforcement is tending to you. So I would imagine, and I would hope, and I need clarity, why couldn't Noble offer some kind of statement, assessment, perspective, view, etc. on this issue?
If I might, and I have no way of knowing how widely this might have been disseminated, but that Noble chapters in and around this area did make statements relative to the Oscar Grant killing.
You didn't hear each other.
And I said, I have no way of knowing or understanding how widely these might have been disseminated.
Not at all.
And the national organization also created a press release on the incident from the perspective of the national organization. And if I might, I do want to make a corollary. Noble is very, very interested as a minority African-American organization about our citizens, because we come from those very, very same neighborhoods. And so in similar fashion, in the New York Police Department, there have been a number of deaths of fairly young black officers at the hands of their white counterparts. And so equally, at the other end of the country, we have a deep abiding concern, make comments, and look into those kinds of incidents, all with the effort of how is it that we can contribute to make it better for us.
I got a couple comments. I think we have actually a couple points of agreement. Number one, Noble absolutely, positively has the capacity to investigate any kind of crime. But do we have the opportunity? Are we reviewing statements? Do we have the evidence? No, we don't. There's a criminal process that's handling that. Noble's not handling that. Our motto in Noble is, we are the conscience of law enforcement. We're concerned about issues that affect the black community. That's why we bid on this process. That's why we bid on this process. We're concerned about the money, the fact of the minority community across America.
We've done it for free.
You appear to be an intelligent person. So we already started by giving some suggestions and some warnings, and I'm really trying not to lash out, so to speak. But in response to what you're saying, just similar to how it is on that paper, we talk about disrespect of the community. In customer service, okay, you're not supposed to say what you can't do or what you will not do, because the customer is always right. You're supposed to say what you can do. So by you making that statement, I have no ability, I can't investigate, we're not asking you to investigate. You already said that you can't do that, so you don't need to keep reiterating that you can't investigate what happened on January 1st. We heard you say it, and we're not ignorant people. We understand that. However, what I spoke to earlier is when something like this happens, it causes an awareness, okay? And then we in the community go and look into what is actually happening in BARC. So while this incident particularly cannot be investigated, the practices and the policies and the training procedures that caused this incident to happen need to be investigated as a part of your investigation that you're conducting in order to ensure that this doesn't happen again. When Brother Christopher talked about Noble not making a statement, it wasn't a shot towards Noble directly, but you're included in that because everyone was silent on January 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th. The 5th, the 6th. Nobody said anything until we in the community went and said, you have to say something because silence is consent. And while everyone was silent, you just spoke on it a minute ago, you said that you're 1 month in to a 4 month investigation. So you weren't under any obligation to BARC before. You weren't aware that Myers-Nave was handling the investigation of the incident and that you couldn't make any statement about the incident because right now you have a specific task with BART. So January, February, March, April, no statement was made by Noble. I never even heard of Noble. I'm sorry. I'm a young man. I've never heard of Noble until this particular incident. Because in my experience in dealing with law enforcement, I just stay away from it. Because every interaction is a potential threat to my life. And I have children to take care of. And I know that whether I've done anything wrong or not, when a law enforcement officer approaches me, he may look at me like however he looks at me. I don't know if he's been in the military and he just on one that evening, like those officers were. So I don't, like I said, us being unaware, it's not because we're ignorant. It's because some information has been held back. And by you attaching yourself to this situation, you need to draw the line in the sand. You were black first before you were blue. And what he meant by making a statement, nobody said anything. You saw a videotape just like we did, didn't you? Did you see the videotape? Did you see any videotape from?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. Did you see it before you were involved directly with BART?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if that didn't touch you, you said you're the conscience of law enforcement. I have to question conscience because I know what it means. Conscience is the voice that speaks to you and tells you when you are erring off of the path of God. Or if you don't want to get religious, we can say when you're about to do something wrong. Conscience is what keeps you from making that error. But conscience is a voice. And if the conscience is not stepping up and making any type of statement at all until you're connected with BART, and now you're going to tell us on behalf of BART what you can't do, as opposed to telling us what you are willing to do and are striving to do and are going to do on behalf of the community in which you serve. Because whether you believe or not, you're still supposed to serve the community, right? You need to say on Noble's behalf, what is Noble doing? It sounds like you are representing BART. BART got plenty of PR representatives. I'm tired of seeing them. I'm tired of hearing them. We don't need you to say that you are representing black law enforcement executives to come and be a spokesperson for BART. It's just disrespectful. It's not to say that those messages don't need to get to us, but we got them already. Please do not disrespect us by continually telling us what you're not able to do, what you can't do, what BART says, what BART is doing. We don't want to hear that. What we want to hear from you as the conscience of law enforcement is, where is your conscience? I believe you have one, but you need to put that on the forefront because it's making you look like a BART representative. And right now, that's just not a very popular thing to be. Now, because we're looking for points to put on this board, you asked for practices or things that we might know about BART police. Now, I've written BART. I don't particularly like it. I haven't written BART since January 1st, and I don't plan on writing it again. However, in my dealings with BART, and BART police specifically, since you're looking for things to address with the way that BART operates, somebody mentioned a chip on the shoulder of BART police officers. They have a problem with the fact that they operate on a privacy and secrecy level in dealing with the community. So therefore, the community doesn't understand that they're real police officers. And for people who might have been the nerds in high school, the people who were disrespected, and then they go ahead and put on a uniform, a badge, and a gun, and this is supposed to afford them some new respect now. All of those officers who testified to a lack of respect. They wasn't listening to us. They called us fake police officers. I hear this conversation all the time. We see a BART police officer. First of all, you see the car, it looks the same like a police car. I was having a conversation with my little sisters in the car the other day. Oh, is that the police over there? Oh, no, that's just BART police. But that's because we don't know anything about BART police until it's a problem. That's something that needs to be addressed, though, because it affects their policing. So, not dealing with January 1st, let's go back to November. In November, there were new patches ordered, where BART was removed and it just says police in large letters. And when these new the question was brought up about the poor timing of this new institution of these patches on people and how disrespectful, again, for them to change their patches and just put police on here in light of this incident happened on January 1st. And the response was, oh no, that was done in November. It had nothing to do with the incident on January 1st, but it does. Because it speaks to what the officers corroborated, they testified that they don't feel respected by the community as real police officers. People don't think they're real police officers. So it causes a response in them when somebody calls them a rent-a-cop or a bar cop, or you're not the real police, and they respond angrily and aggressively towards people. This happened that night, so even though we're not dealing with an investigation of that particular incident, these are practices and policies and rules and training procedures that have been going on for some time that show that not only did this incident happen on January 1st, but if it's not checked quickly, it will happen again.
Engineering.
And the engineering was so bad, I'm surprised they found Market Street. So the state of BART goes way back.
And for the record, we do have two women officers that are on our consulting team. And they're just not here in town right now.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Miller. I speak for myself as a Bay Area resident and citizen. I also speak as a director for education on incarceration at my proxy and affiliate organization, the Everstelli Action and Resource Center. What happened on January 1st, the murder, the police murder, clearly established police murder of Oscar Grant, is unacceptable. And it is the result of several forces, both, many of which have been pointed out this evening, both tactical and systematic. I would like to immediately echo all the voices that have called for the disarmament of BART police. That includes tasers, and firearms. They are unnecessary. They do not reflect any proportional relativity to the dangers at hand to officers in this particular context, and have a much greater chance of being used in an abuse of force scenario than in what would be deemed more appropriate law enforcement service. So that's why I'd also like to immediately echo the call for greater responsibility and jurisdiction to be levied on local police departments, because for anyone who has driven BART throughout the Bay Area, it should be painfully evident that there are very different communities made up of very different demographics with very different civic politics, and specifically when it comes to race and class terms. And sometimes mixing those can be oil and water, especially if there's old prejudices involved. So this was a very, very good suggestion. It also addresses another point, which is that if we are to slip away from the negative to the positive, if we are talking in terms of community building, then the fact of the matter is, if in fact any enforcement officer were required to be a member of the community in which they serve, then there is a necessary intimacy there, i.e. they are around the people that they will be serving, protecting, and at times arresting or detaining or any other aspect of police activity. That necessary proximity already cuts down, doesn't eliminate, but already cuts down these cases of abuse based on a sense of authority over the disparaged other, you know. So that's just to get started. I've heard several comments that confuse me, and in essence, your relationship, let's say Noble's relationship with BART, I find very confusing, and I will lay that out here, because it's down here we're going more into the systematic thing. I have no doubts in my mind that we are dealing with systematic problems, nor do I think that particularly anyone in this room has any doubts that we're dealing with systematic problems, but I'll just tell you my own personal experience. Outside from being an organizer, I also used to be a kindergarten teacher in Alameda, and I would get off the Fruitvale BART, on and off the Fruitvale BART every day while I taught kindergarten. And I've had plenty of interactions with the Fruitvale BART police, many of them defending youth who were being detained or questioned just for hanging around. And I would get some of the most cavalier jackass responses from the BART police as to why they were unlawfully and ridiculously questioning youth and shaking down youth. This happened all the time. Also on the other side, I live out here in San Francisco, I remember several nights, one in particular, where 6 or 7 youth were detained, youth of color were detained by the BART police because one white passenger filed a complaint.
That's what happened January 1st. Mm-hmm.
They were all arrested on trumped up charges. No crime actually occurred. I was a witness. I called San Francisco police. I called the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner. There was no response. So yes, we are dealing with a systematic problem, but I do not understand why the answer to a systematic problem would be a systematic obfuscation of the situation. Why is it that it appears to Noble to be somehow in the service of justice to 6 months after the fact on the BART payroll conduct a community pulse poll to see how we feel about the murder of our brother? Isn't that clear? I don't think that there has never been in my mind any ambiguity as to what the community feels about Oscar Grant's murder and the subsequent civil unrest labeled as a riot should clarify any doubts on that point. No, we do not accept police violation of our community members. We do not accept police abuse of our community members. We do not accept police murder of our community members. Secondly, like I said, I want to focus on the systematic point. Now look here. BART has done an amazing PR campaign to try and whitewash this. They've been paying attorneys, they've been paying media outlets, they've been paying a lot of money, and now they're paying y'all. And it's supposed to be presented to us as in our benefit. Yet, when Oscar Grant had a funeral, where was everybody? Where was everybody there? Where was the governor? The governor came out for the funeral for the officers that Lovell Mixon stands accused of murdering. Okay, he came out for that. There was big fanfare for that, and let's not mix words. That was obviously very much spun and used for a week or more as a PR campaign to divert attention from this issue. But BART didn't step up there. BART could have used the money they're paying you and should have to personally pay for the governor's trip to Oakland to attend Oscar Grant's funeral. That would have been a baby step in the direction of renewing the community's confidence in BART as being about community. But now they're paying y'all. Now they're paying y'all to conduct a poll on how we feel about this. And they're gonna put some, you know, I'm not gonna condemn Noble. I'm sure there are many activities events and investigations that Noble conducts that are in the service of justice. But gentlemen, this is not one of them. We don't need, it does not serve the black community or the human concern community of the Bay Area at all just to have black gentlemen such as yourself asking us inane questions to see our mood about this. There is a very clear demand for accountability, demilitarization, oversight and active punitive justice, because you know damn well that if the situation was reversed, that is what would be exacted upon us.
Anybody?
it's going to be more publicized. But for your own reputation, it's probably for the best that nobody hears that this happened. It's kind of ridiculous, and then you're back in the door with a whole bunch of rules and regulations about what we can ask and how we can ask it. It just feels like a police state up in here to me. I don't know what NOBLE stands for. Is it the initials for something, or are we deeming ourselves as hirelings for the city of Oakland, which is bankrupt, as a NOBLE posture or something? Can somebody tell me what, is that the name of your group?
National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives.
Executives. What's the difference between an executive and a police officer that has his life on the line every day protecting the citizen?
Typically command officers, management. If we're a sister organization to the National Black Police Officers Association.
Is that pronounced NOBLE as well? Because it seems that I was involved in the founding of the African American Community Police Relations Board. And it seemed that, I thought it was a group called NOBLE whose policies and procedures that we took a look at. And it's kind of ridiculous that you would be out here taking a poll on policies and procedures. It seems like to me, if I remember, you were the vanguard organization of policies and procedures.
Community policing.
And community policing. So how do you find yourselves in hire for the BART Police Department at a time when we would think that your voice would be the loudest voice that would speak after such a long period of silence? Rather than a charade and a parade and a dog and pony show of taking a poll from the community as to how do we feel about cold-blooded murder on film. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a law enforcement person either, but it seems like to me that I heard somewhere that if we and an associate of mine would go in to rob a bank, and the police killed my associate, that I would be in certain states held accountable for that murder. Is that so, Winston? Or is that just something that I heard that's not real? And I ask that question because I'm really upset, first of all, that a man that can commit murder can leave the state and be brought back and given bail to walk the streets. I've never heard of nothing so ridiculous in my life. The man should have been arrested on a fugitive warrant. There should be no bail. He's got no business marching in and out of the courtrooms in front of the victim's family, parading himself around like he's somebody special. And then to have some black men who, in my mind, somewhere I had great respect for, would come out and not raise a voice to say that we want the crime partners arrested. Is that something impossible? I mean, is that far-fetched? Is that an emotional outburst on the community to feel that those gangsters that was on that platform with this murderer should be charged with something? It seems to me that that's what I would love to hear black professional executive police officers talking about in terms of trying to find out where the community is, because our voice has been very loud on that issue. And for its policies and procedures, we have some police officers here in the audience that can tell you about policies and procedures, because some of them were involved in the crafting of the police, community policing here. So maybe if it's some way that, and I do really think you need to redeem yourselves, that y'all need to kick this table over and take a new position that would represent the sentiments of this community and give some credibility to the name that you, I like the name NOBLE, but when you put BART Noble together? Oh my God. You just got hijacked. There's nothing noble going on with the Bart Police Department. And you can associate your name with it. And then give a whole bunch of rules for effective participation. You need some rules for yourself before you get into effective participation and standing up and being a shield for this murderer and for this Bart Police Station who hasn't shown any compassion at all. Cold-blooded murder. I had a brother here 28 years and died in the penitentiary on a self-defense murder in the state of Nevada. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. How do you find yourself involved in this? Do you live in the Bay Area? Where you catch from, man? Somebody run these guys out of town. Who let y'all into this city? I'm going to talk to my local police officers over there because y'all got a job to do, and this kind of stuff should be stopped at the border. We do not need this kind of representation, participation for recommendation of what Bart can do. What Bart can do is arrest every officer that was on that platform, renege that man's bail, and have him to go to jail like any other murderer would go that fled the scene of a crime. Don't that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I tripping? Am I making? Maybe I'm just having an emotional outburst because I just can't stand to see my brother shot in the back like that and somebody try to explain how he was a oops. And then here we go. Now, what should Bart Police start doing? I think they've done enough. I think they should start disbanding themselves. I know some Boy Scouts that can handle that. Bart thing. What is it? What do you need guns and tasers for? Some teenager jumped over the thing and didn't pay his $4. He's a dead man. I'm not feeling it, man. I'm disturbed. Because when I heard Noble was on the case, I got kind of excited that something was about to happen. But when I see you married to Bart, Noble, and community, it don't work like that. The community is not a part of Bart.
No.
And Bart is not and has not shown and has never shown when I hear some of the testimonies that they have the good sense to be armed. Mm-hmm. These cats are so stupid they can't run their own bathwater. How in the world they want to run a police department? This is ridiculous. Are you all angry? You guys should be playing poker, you know that? These are good poker players. I haven't seen one sense of emotion coming from you, cats. I don't get it, man. It seemed like somebody would have said after some of the testimony I heard, hey, man, y'all right. Excuse me. We out of here. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to take some old, real, hard things from you. And to think that you guys are being paid to do this, you don't want to be called hirelings. You know, Jesus talked about that. You know, when the wolf come, when the murderers come, and when the gang activity jump off like it did that day, and the hirelings flee when the wolf come, and the wolf and the sheep are slaughtered, this looks bad. All money ain't good money, my friends. And if you all are executives, y'all should have a pretty comfortable bankroll, right?
That's right.
Y'all don't look like you're hungry, but you ain't just throw bills at me, brother. I mean, seem like y'all doing all right to me. Great God Almighty. You didn't even need this money. Or did you? Are you here for money? Or are you here to make a difference? I hope I am. I hope I am. And if anybody out there is representing Noble, be insulted right now. Because you just insulted this community. And when they murdered my brother and tried to make a song and a dance out of it, this whole community was insulted. Isn't it something how we have this little fight for life kind of objective? from the enraged citizens that are against cold-blooded murder, and have somebody in the darkness of this of these halls to tell me that he's that I'm being insulting? We've just been insulted. I feel like somebody kicked dirt in my face, and I'm sick and tired of this kind of foolishness going on. So I love you, brother, because I, by the commandment of the King of Glory, I must love you. But I hate foolishness. I hate these parade dress kind of things that go on here. And, you know, I love the Mission District, but I was wondering why we didn't have this over in Oakland. Did they have it over there, too? Oh, that's the
one.
Y'all are in trouble if y'all taking this to Oaktown, believe me. See you tomorrow, baby. God bless you for everything you do that's good and righteous. And may everything that is unrighteous be condemned by the Most High God. And may your hearts be struck with compassion and repentance.
Station. Yeah, it would be helpful to have a convenient complaint form available at each station, so if we see something that we think you'll need to know about, we can fill it out and drop it into a box that's secure, so the officers can't get their hands on it, and so we don't necessarily have to do it in front of them. So much of the stuff that happens occurs on weekends or evenings, or when we're about to be on the BART for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and we don't always have phone service, et cetera, to call in a complaint. That would be really helpful, I think. A one-write system where you pull off the top copy, you know, and you put it in and you keep the back copy for yourself, so you know that if they don't contact you, you can say, well, gee, I put this form in there at this time, at this station, and did it not get to Internal Affairs kind of thing, in case there's an interruption. The second thing is I'd like to have pictures of the officers available on the BART website. I honestly haven't checked the website, don't know if they're there, but I can tell you that very few police pictures are available for different cities, and that was a problem for me in Berkeley when Internal Affairs, the person who came down to Internal Affairs to talk to me, probably wasn't Internal Affairs, his name rhymes with the person, Internal Affairs, and when you're working in a close-knit system like that, you know, you probably have the right to complain. And it would be helpful to clarify to the officers that the public has a right to take their picture, to take that camera phone out, take a picture, and the officer has no right to seize that phone and that camera. But I think that's a part of the ongoing animosity about the situation was that an officer apparently boarded the BART on January 1st and started seizing phones or attempting to seize phones. And there's not been any, you know, prosecution of that person for basically trying to obstruct justice.
Okay, the first thing I want to point out is that you guys have already been caught misleading the public twice. The first thing was when you made a big point about how BART was not invited here, that there was a union rep, there's lots of other BART people, when you recall on that, then you said that the BART media was here to assist with setup. And that's not entirely true, because when the corporate media left here, this BART representative right there, he went running after them, make sure he got the last word in. He's here for spin. He was not here to help you guys set up microphones. The first thing, my first impression when you handed this out, it's completely insulting. You started with rules, and it's condescending. Make I statements? We're talking about BART police. I mean, unless you're looking for people to come here and say, you know, I was cracked in the head, you know, by a BART baton, it doesn't make any sense. Courtesy, it's like you're talking to children. Very, very insulting. One thing you guys need to get is that while Oscar Grant was murdered, but the community was wounded by that, you know, and the way you introduced yourselves in the community here, it feels like the public walks in here to try and, you know, have an open mind. Maybe Noble's going to do something positive. You felt like you had to slap us around before we could even speak. As far as issues with BART itself, I think the BART police has a structural issue, and I'm going to take it a notch further than some of the people who recommended disarming. I think that maybe we need to just get rid of the BART police. Mm-hmm. Part of the issue with that is they've always had improper oversight because they have a part-time board. The part-time board means that they've got Chief Gee and General Manager Duggar, who's pretty much is like Police Chief Plus. So basically, it's all in one family. The BART board doesn't have the time to do it. So I think we either need to recommend A, getting rid of the BART police force, or B, the BART board needs to become full-time so that they can properly oversee these people running around with guns and tasers. The second main thing I would personally like to get out of you guys' involvement is information released to the public. What are you planning on releasing? Are we going to learn about the history of racial profiling in BART? Are we going to learn about the history of police discipline for excessive force? Because what we've seen from this, there is no discipline handed out at all. A BART representative said at one of the subcommittee meetings the other day that he has seen nothing in terms of the BART that faults any officers. And this was said last week. It's obvious that they're all at fault. You know, all three people were killed in the inner East Bank area. So pretty much it seems like BART has a serious problem with the citizens that live between Hayward and Richmond in the East Bay. That needs to be looked at. I'm sure that you guys are, if you are honest and really probe, you're going to run across data points that line up with that. And the last thing I'm going to conclude with is sort of how I started, but you didn't even bother to note in this any public benefit. You just said, you know, don't do this little children, don't do that little children. What are the public supposed to get out of this? Mm-hmm. So far you've been caught with misleading the public twice in this very forum. You hand out this insulting little sheet. Here you were anxious to run around. As soon as somebody was in the door, boom, they got this little sheet. What are you going to do for the public? Are we just part of the cover-up?
Anybody else?
Can anybody speak? Or is it already spoken? Can anybody speak? Or is it already spoken? Can't be again?
Sure.
Number one, the whole idea of a militarized training and a militarized BART doesn't seem appropriate. In fact, militarizing or militarized training of law enforcement in general is something that Noble needs to take a comprehensive look at. Because once you have this militarized training, and I'm old enough to remember when, you know, law enforcement officers, even in the hood, had a different disposition. They were neighborhood officers. They may have had a gun with a nightstick, but they walked around and talked to people. And there was some knowledge of who they were. But when you now have training that takes on this whole military bearing, which law enforcement has militarized over the years, you've got guys in bulletproof vests, you know, microphones or on their walkie-talkies on their shoulders, tasers, nightsticks, guns, the whole shot. And of course, the response is that this is the response we have because the streets are more dangerous. But I think what it's doing is taking you out of the mind of service and community policing and community interaction to now look at people as enemy combatants. So BART, as an entity, with the militarization of BART, this is a transit company. It's like MUTE. It's like Amtrak. It's like Caltrans. So this whole issue around militarization and the training and having private companies conduct training where you don't have standards. These BART officers were trained by some group out of Marin County. Now, I don't know if that's a norm in terms of police department training, but there should be
a accountability attached to training, not this Blackwater mindset, this privatization of law enforcement, where you get the tendencies toward amped up, responding with the mind of crackheads at the first sign of disrespect. You're trained to take disrespect. We've been taking disrespect for 400 years. So the whole idea of being able to take a little disrespect, and you're a professional, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, you're making a salary to take a little disrespect from drunk people, half-crazy people, but when you can't take a slight or an insult, and see, this carries weight because as black people, particularly, we know any encounter with law enforcement has the potential to be deadly. Somebody said, well, it's a routine traffic stop. Stop right there. Not when it comes to black people. Right. Black men in particular, no such thing as a routine traffic stop. Every brother knows, and I'm sure when you dress down and you don't look like a policeman, or I don't look like somebody of some import, there's always the concern that this could be your last stop. And then, when law enforcement is trained to stop you, and this happened to me recently, I was riding with my little daughter in the car in the back seat, and I get stopped for allegedly running a stop sign. The first question this officer asked me was, are you on probation? Are you on parole? Now, I'm not on probation. I'm not on parole. But how dare you? Because they know that most black men are under some court supervision in California, which opens up now a whole Pandora's box of engagement. If I were on probation or on parole, what did that have to do with me slowing down or not stopping at a stop sign? These are the kinds of policy issues that organizations, and I have great respect for Noble because I know something about their history, but organizations like Noble and OFJ, you've got to get your activism back, because sometimes you've morphed into just employee organizations, where you're more interested in promotions than you are in policy, protocols, procedures, and community issues. So I hope one of the things that come out of this is the sparking of you getting back to your original founding, which was to be overseers of the justice process, not to condone criminality, but to make sure that the law is applied equally regardless to race, creed, or class. And that's what the community is looking to you, OFJ, and the other black law enforcement professionals for: some constructive engagement and a stronger voice in the issues of justice facing our people.
Thank you. And thank you for
I was just over at Freedomvale last week twice, which was one reason I knew there wasn't any notification. And the BART cops were out harassing people in the plaza, so I don't think they should be expanding. They're not even supposed to be out of BART, so it's getting worse. It's very easy to face. I forgot to mention that.
I have one more comment. I want more people out.
One thing I note here is that you guys are taking notes, and I've watched as people spoke, and these are definitely incomplete. So I hope that you guys go back and watch the video and listen to the audio 5 times, because these notes are missing lots of things. And in conjunction with that, I want to point out that another way that this sort of feels insulting to me is because I wonder about what is the weight that you're giving to different elements of your investigation. I'll bet you that the police carry a lot of credibility with you, and the public gets, you know, 5, 6, 7 pages in crayon. All
right. I would say that your input may be more valuable than you give credit. and in addition to the individual items, all of which were extremely important, we hear your voice. And we did come to listen. And so we've heard not only the words, but the manner in which each of you individually and as a community are reacting to and interacting with the BART police. In this, one of the things that we did screw up here was that we really expected about five times as many people here as attended. And so in our attempt to create some structure and to make sure that everybody who came would have an opportunity to say and participate, if we in our instructions were overbearing, we apologize. But that we were willing and know that we, in listening carefully, are going to hear the frustration, the thinking of actively engaged community members. But we wanted to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to have a word with us. It really is important, we believe, and Patrick is handing out these 3x5 cards, that we do look down the road and that our effort is to improve the quality of policing wherever it's found. And so a part of that is looking for ways in which we as a community can be much more a part of the policing operation, not apart from it. And whatever shape that safety and security effort takes on, we recognize that it's important that the agency and the community reach out to commonly look at methods in which we can improve our relationship, one, but how do we make everybody safe. So we're asking people, begging people, if you really want to have a voice in this, please come to this engagement process where we sit down and really talk about the issues that keep us apart and how we make that better. And so for tomorrow night's discussion in Oakland, we will try not to be so burdensome with our instructions. But we do think that this is critically important for us to hear not only your words, but also what you feel. And so I'd like to thank everybody for your participation. I expect that we will probably see some of you on the other side of the bay tomorrow night. And so I would ask you that if you are in attendance tomorrow night, give those people who did not have an opportunity to have their say, to give them an opportunity to also say before you engage us.
Patrick? Let me say one other thing. There are 31 items that are listed there on the index card you got. If you don't, you can get one. Would you tell us which of these items you think are the top five concerns? If your concern is not on there, then put it down on the card. So we're trying to, not to say that all the concerns aren't important, but we'd like to know as a community, if you had to prioritize them as a group, which ones would you say are the highest priority? So, and we'll be around after we conclude here, so if you'd like to talk to us privately, we're welcome to do that. And of course, we're going to try to reach out to you so that if folks want to talk more with us about the BART Police Department, you're stuck with that.
Sir,
If I may, I have one last 30 second record direct recommendation that I don't see reflected there that I would like publicly heard. And that is to develop and implement a deprogramming training for the police officers to instruct them not to view the passengers, and specifically black passengers, passengers of color, black men, as inherently criminal, but the opposite, to view them as law-abiding, worthy of respect citizens until they prove otherwise. Because if you're going around looking for anything, you're bound to find something. If you're looking for something in particular, then you better have some expertise. And it is specifically that expertise which is what should be the justifying factor for the outrageous salaries that these officers make. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to point out that it's a little faulty, the last thing you asked people to do, because those notes are incomplete. Disband the BART police isn't up there. If I went through the audio, I could find other things as well. So, sort of, you're asking people to pick five of the things you chose to write down?
No, you can add anything you want to add on. So, if you want to create your five or not on that list, that's fine. We want your opinion.
Return your fee and join us in the struggle for Oscar Grant. That's my suggestion.